Colossians 2, 6 and 7, and then Psalm 138, 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And our main text for this evening's message, Psalm 138, verse 1. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you tonight and pray that you would come and visit us by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the risen Christ. Oh, may he be here among his people, shepherding his flock. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to believe, and forgive us for unbelief, and fill us, Lord, with thankfulness, that we would be abounding in thanksgiving, and that we would give you thanks with our whole hearts whenever we come before you. We pray you would draw near to each one here tonight. You know what each one needs, and for all those joining us via our live stream, Lord, have mercy on each one and bless them and encourage them tonight through the ministry of the word. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with joy as we hear again the promises of God. We ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. On Sunday mornings, I generally take some time to think about what I'm going to say just as the service begins, you know, right after the announcements. Before the time of silent prayer and the prelude starts to fix our thoughts and the importance of what we're about to do, I may look up a quote on worship, something profound, you know, that causes us to think, or a scripture passage about how we should come before the Lord. You may remember that this past Sunday morning, I read Psalm 138, verse 1, this passage, as the introduction before the prelude. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. I didn't plan to find that. I just found it about 45 minutes or an hour before the service began. And I thought, my whole heart, my whole heart. I found myself thinking about that all day Sunday. And it really convicted me. It challenged me. Do I do that? Every time I pray before a meal and give thanks. Every time I go to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. That's what I've been wrestling with the last several days. And I thought, then I want to do more study on it for tonight. More thinking on it. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. You know, first of all, there are so many things we do half-heartedly, right? We don't do a lot of things with our whole heart. We do those half-hearted things every day and we don't even think about it. Sometimes we realize our heart's not really in it. I remember the first time I heard someone say, my heart really isn't in this job. It was my freshman year in college at the University of Kansas, and I was talking to an upperclassman that I knew from the Christian college fellowship that I attended. He worked at the front desk of the dorm that I lived in, and he looked rather glum one evening, kind of dragging his feet, and he let out a big sigh after getting off what appeared to be a difficult phone call. So I asked him what was going on, and he said, oh, it's just me and this job. I used to like this job, he said, when I first started, but my heart really isn't in this job anymore. I remember distinctly right where I was standing. That was a long time ago. I guess I'd never heard anybody say that before. And every time I hear someone say, my heart isn't in this, I think about that friend of mine and his glum face and his shaking head. There are a lot of things we do throughout the day and throughout our week that we do half-heartedly, that we have to do, right? Cleaning the house. Some people love to clean the house. We can look like we're cleaning the house, right? But not really. We're cutting corners and hiding things in closets. Or maybe working on a project for school or for work. If your heart isn't in it, people will be able to tell. If you're doing it half-heartedly. You think about athletes playing in a game. That's why those pep talks at halftime are so crucial, because players get deflated. If they're losing, they lose heart. They aren't giving it their all. Maybe it's doing the laundry. I can tell when I'm not doing the laundry. Sometimes I do the laundry. You can ask Donna. But you can tell when my heart's not in it by the way I fold the clothes or hang things up. You can later tell in the drawer. Or Christmas shopping, if that's something your heart isn't in, you won't enjoy the thought of giving gifts to people. But worship, giving thanks to God, is it possible that you might come to gather with God's people and not sing or pray or thank God with your whole heart? Is it possible that you might come and pick up a bulletin at the door and find a place to sit and proceed, then to just check out? Start texting maybe, or start thinking about something else, planning for the week ahead. You know, the Spirit of God gives us this declaration here by King David as a call to examine our hearts. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. God gives us this to shine a light on our own hearts. Think about this secondly. The Bible mentions all kinds of things that people did or didn't do with their whole heart with that very same phrase. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 38, it describes people and their choosing of a leader and their loyalty. It says, all of these men of war arrayed in battle order came to Hebron with a whole heart to make David king over Israel. Likewise, all the rest of Israel were of a single mind to make David king. They had their whole heart. They wanted David to be king. It sort of reminds me of our recent elections, right? There were a lot of wholehearted, single-minded people on both sides. 1 Chronicles 28 talks about knowing and serving God with a whole heart. David's charge to his son Solomon. He says, and you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. Because the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. Some people are wholehearted about finding out the truth about some things. But I think it's rare that you find people who want to know God with their whole heart and serve him with their whole heart because they know that God is watching them. In 1 Chronicles 29, there's the example of God's people giving offerings to build the temple. It says, then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. They rejoiced because they delighted in freely giving offerings for the building of the temple. The time had finally come that the temple could be built. Sometimes our giving is half-hearted, right? Especially when we feel like we have to give something, when it's not freely given. In 2 Chronicles 25, there's an example of Amaziah, who was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiadan of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. He did what was right, but his heart wasn't in it. And then there's Psalm 119, verse 2, about seeking God. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and seek him with their whole heart. And later in that psalm, with my whole heart, I cry, Lord, answer me. Usually when we're crying out to God, we cry with our whole heart, right? It's not often that we half-heartedly cry out to the Lord. If we're crying out to the Lord, it's with our whole heart. It's interesting in Jeremiah chapter 3, even repentance is mentioned half-heartedly. That is turning back to God. The Lord says through his prophet, yet for all her treacherous sister, that is Israel, Judah did not return to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, declares the Lord. Meaning she just pretended. The people just pretended to turn back to the Lord, as if they could fool the Lord with half-hearted repentance. So then, when it comes to giving thanks and praising God, why does David say here, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. Why does he say that he's committed to praising God, or determined to sing God's praise, to thank God, to glorify and honor God for who he is and what he's done with his whole heart, even in front of the gods? Which could mean either in preference to all the gods or idols of the nations, I will worship the Lord. Or it could mean, as I tend to think and what you find in most commentaries, even in front of the big shots, even in front of the gods, I don't care what people think. I don't care who's watching me. I don't care what they think about me. I will give thanks to God. I don't care if they mock or tease or scorn me. As for me and my house, basically, I'm giving thanks to God with my whole heart. I will praise him with my whole heart. So why then does David say, I will thank the Lord with my whole heart. I will give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Why is he determined to bow down toward the presence of God? Why is he giving thanks to the Lord? Well, he says it right here in verse 138, which we read through earlier in the service, and it's so edifying. It's a reminder to us, even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of stress and trouble, loneliness, heartbreak, here's what he says. I will give you thanks. I'll bow down to you because of your steadfast love. Whenever you hear that in the Old Testament, think covenantal love. Chesed is the Hebrew word, God's faithfulness to his promises. Because of your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. You see, for King David, the motivating factor behind wholehearted gratitude to God is God's promise, the word of his promise, his covenantal promise to him of establishing his throne forever. Through him, the Messiah, you see, would come and reign on David's throne forever. The Savior of the nations was coming, that God would keep his word, his promise, that he would provide a lamb, that he would send a redeemer into the world to crush the head of the serpent who would rule over God's people forever. And not only that, in theory, you might say, in principle, that this was God's promise, which was coming way out there in the future, but also driving his sense of thanksgiving is what God had done for him personally. That the Lord had heard his cry for mercy. On the day I cried out for you, you heard me. You came to me. You rescued me. So David says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. It indicates God's surpassing greatness, what he's received from the Lord. And so he's willing to come to God with a whole heart because of all that God has done for him. And you know, for you and for me today, 3,000 years later, the Lord has preserved this psalm because you can say the same thing. You can sing the same thing. Because of your steadfast love fulfilled in Christ, and because of your faithfulness, you have exalted above all things your name and your word. And I called upon the name of the Lord, and I believed the promise of your word. I called out to you, and you answered me, and my strength of soul you increased. I will give thanks to you, O Lord. I don't care who's watching. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I will sing praise to you because of your faithfulness to your covenant promises. Because Jesus Christ came into the world to save a sinner like me. And you pursued me. And you came and brought a messenger of grace to me. And you opened my eyes to see Christ and all of his promises. And you heard my cry for forgiveness. You heard my cry for mercy and pardon. You came to me, Lord, and you washed me. And you made me a new creature. And you gave me new life. And you infused my soul with strength. So I will give thanks to you with a whole heart. How could I ever give half-hearted thanks? I mean, you think about this. What does a half-hearted thank you sound like? Right? You know, we teach our kids to say thanks. We've all done that, or we've all experienced it when we were kids. Right? We teach our kids to say thank you. Johnny, what do you say? Thank you. Right? That's not necessarily from the whole heart, but at least they're getting down the pattern. Come on, honey, say it like you mean it. Thank you. After all that God in his grace and mercy have done for you, how could we ever thank God half-heartedly? Right? He forgave me of my sins. Thank you, Lord. He covered me with his righteousness. Thanks, I guess. He's promised to turn whatever happens to me in this sad world around for my good. Thanks, Lord. He's promised to raise my body from the dead. No big deal. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead. So I don't need to fear, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Thanks, I guess. I mean, how can we have that attitude, right? No, big deal. He's preparing a mansion for me in glory. As I often say, we as Reformed believers, Christians in the Reformed tradition, who hold to the sovereignty of God in all things, and even our salvation, it's all a gift of his amazing grace. We of all people ought to be the most joyous in praise, the most obvious in our thanks, the most robust in our singing. And add on top of that, we here live in an age of peace and prosperity and abundance and opportunity and freedom. Well, this Thanksgiving, may this be the theme of our week and our worship and our whole lives every day, even in the midst of a pandemic. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart, that we would be, as Colossians says, abounding in thanksgiving. Or as Paul says, to give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians. So how do we get this? How is it even possible? How is it that I can leave behind spiritual lethargy? That I would give thanks to God with my whole heart? Well, we have to keep going back to the gospel, which is what David mentions here. I cried out to you and you answered me. You've kept your promise. You've kept your word. You forgave me my sins. You saved me. We have to keep going back to the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to save a sinner like me. And we need the heart and spirit of the one who always worshiped the Father with his whole heart, right? The Lord Jesus himself. We need him every day. Something to think about tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day and this week. What must Jesus have looked like when he sang? He's the one who wrote all the Psalms, by the way. Right? He's the living word. So he knew them all by heart. What must his face have looked like when he sang the Psalms? What do you think he sounded like as he walked with his disciples singing Psalms along the road, going up with the pilgrims from Galilee, going up to the feasts in Jerusalem? Or when he was in the temple courts with pilgrims who came, Jews who came from all over the Roman Empire. Do you think he ever sang as if it didn't matter? I don't think so. What if he were to walk in here and sing among us? What if he were to walk in here and sing among us? Well, in one sense, he does, right? And he has, because he's always with us. But the other sense is that we're the body of Christ, right? He dwells here among his people. And it's through us, as we worship God in spirit and in truth with the power of the risen Christ, the one in whom we are rooted and built up and established in the faith. He sings through us by his spirit. Wouldn't it be awesome if people who came here were struck by the zeal with which we worship? I know it's hard with masks on every Sunday. Wouldn't it be awesome if people were struck by our zeal in worship because they sensed the living God in our midst and Christ singing through us, that they would leave here and say, truly the Lord is in this place. Oh, we need him. We need his help. Right? We need to be ready to worship him with a whole heart. We need to go to bed early on a Saturday night. Seek to get a good night's sleep. Right? To wake refreshed. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to worship you. We need to abide in him that we can bear much fruit. What do we need to be able to truly thank the Lord with our whole heart? We need Christ. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And we can do nothing that honors God without the presence and power of the risen Christ. Praise be to God for the gospel. May the Lord this year fill us with a new sense of thanksgiving, thanking God with our whole heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would stir up our hearts to praise you even more. Thank you for your mercy to each one of us. Lord, continue the work you've started in us. Sanctify our hearts that we might truly worship you with our whole heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.